it. Hello. And welcome to This Cat on Our Table.
He's always on.
And also the Cubicorn Gamers Podcast.
Shalom.
My name is Dustin Morbido. Joining me tonight to talk about stuff and things, Lorraine Morbido is here.
Yo.
I stopped turning this chair because it's become squeaky.
Yes.
Yes, joining us via the internet, Kyle McGrath is here.
Dying on the outside, dead on the inside.
Woo!
Aren't we all? Philip McGrath is here.
I'm doing okay.
And Brian Lupfer is here.
I'm sleepy.
Yeah, I'm dying and sleepy, so...
Yeah,
and
mostly,
I'm dead,
mostly okay. So I'm like some combination of all of your guys' state of being. Like, I'm technically fine, but you know,
could be better. Could be worse.
I mean, frankly, I'm on an above average amount of happy.
Hell yeah,
which is concerning. But also, I'm sleepy. I slept 2 hours last night.
That's no good.
Oh, that sucks. No. I didn't sleep great last night, but I slept more than 2 hours for sure. That's I'll say this though, I feel like I like if you don't have Ambien on hand or whatever and you want to like really put yourself down, go watch that new Dune movie. It's pretty
Dune bad.
Really takes the edge off.
Dang,
I can't wait.
Whoever
I watch it, I'm gonna watch tonight. You guys, I'm gonna stay up late and not sleep and watch Dune instead.
Absolute balls of steel to flash part one on the screen for the smallest fraction of a second.
Yeah, that
Holy
was like
shit.
Like I almost wonder if that was like a lawyer at some point. They were like, look, this is not the whole movie.
It's fucking not. It's
we
not the whole
movie. We can't
book.
Lie to people. Like, we've been lying to people in the trailers and the posters and all that shit, but like in the title card, we're gonna stop lying to people. So yeah, it literally like it says Dune, and then in like small text that is almost indiscernible because it's over like a background of sand in white lettering, it says part one.
And then it flashes off the screen.
All right, so that the next part can be Dune.
Part two.
Yep, part
you got it. Yeah, so that's part of it, is that like that movie Dune mostly didn't end. In fact, it had like the final line of dialogue in that movie is like what I assume was a like studio note of like,
this is just the beginning.
Yeah, right. This is only the beginning. Stare directly into camera because we're making a franchise.
Thanks,
Dune.
It's true to the books. Those books get friggin' weird. So
yeah.
Let's go.
And then other than that, like I said, it wasn't like incompetent or anything. I just found it pretty dull. Like it was. And part of that, I'm sure, is because they're like really stretched it out. Like if you cut that down and tried to fit what I see, Lorraine, what is the narrative in Dune end? Like what happens at the end of that book, the book Dune?
Like they basically revolt against
the
city
planet.
That just.
So we're literally like the halfway point, pretty much ish.
I would say, I don't know, because it felt like
he meets Zendaya, he meets the girl with eyes, and then the movie ends.
I would feel like them leaving the capital, like the two of them at the revolt, is more actually the middle of the book, like because. Like I was explaining to you half the time what anything meant, because they don't, there's like no world building like at all, which is the one thing I kind of respect Dune for, as much as I fucking hate it. Like there's a lot of really intricate world building in it. And that was decently interesting, like to see all these little tiny fiddly bits that I didn't care about at all, just kind of lining up and in place. And they just like, you don't know who Yue is, and then he's just gone. Like, okay, we don't know why he was important or what even mattered about him or who he fucking was or any of the other dudes aside from motherfucking Duncan Idaho, who is one of the stupidest
Duncan
names
Idaho.
Still.
Yeah, that's a petty criticism, but I laughed every time someone said Duncan Idaho. Every time. I was like, oh, that's so funny that you named a spaceman Duncan Idaho.
I mentioned, like, his other two dudes who were there, and they're dead at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just,
Yeah, I don't know, but
they land on Arrakis, and then immediately they get overthrown, which was wild to me, because they spent a lot more time building anything, showing any kind of relationship at all between anyone.
Yeah, that's like my actual main, huge
criticism.
The
characters are just like cardboard cutout.
Is that like for me, nothing happened in that movie up till like the 50-minute mark that really got me. Even like 10% invested in like who these people were and what happened to them. Like there's a scene where a ruler saves some people from a thing that happens way too late in the total runtime. I'm like, all right, you guys are like sort of setting up like why I should give a shit that any of these people are in charge of anything. But like by that point, like I said, I was already like drifting off almost because up until then, it's just like chatter about political nonsense and people smashing rings into paper. And
but you see, Dustin, the book is even more of that. But it shows more about the characters still. Like, I knew who the characters were in the book. I forgot all their names because that I wiped my brain completely clean of basically anything that has to do with this book, aside from how much it infuriated me. And I couldn't tell you who was supposed to be who. Like, I had a general idea of what their, like, roles were.
Okay.
But the movie didn't tell me jack shit. Where I basically learned everything about them and their past and their everything about their lives because the book just trolls on in every single way at all times.
Yeah, for I do want to move.
Really important, except for Duncan Idaho in the long run and Paul.
I do want to move off of like the Dune conversation, like especially because other people haven't seen it, whether they're going to see it or not. But the last thing I will say, or the last thing I'll ask, and then we'll move on to other shit, is for the people who have read the book, which I assume is
me and Kyle,
probably that's it.
I read it many years ago, but yeah.
Is the
I
book,
don't read, I'm illiterate.
Is the book is on the nose a like a this is the Middle East and this is oil thing as it is in that movie?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I was just curious if that was like a thing that they added for the adaptation or if it was.
I'll ask you this because I haven't seen it. Like in the book, they're like two major tribes. One's called the Zen Sunnis and the Zen Shiites, I think.
Oh God, they like, didn't even they go that far. Those? So
we basically it ends after he fights that guy.
Right, yeah, maybe that's coming up in the next film. Because yeah, right. We barely get into
they flew through the sandstorm.
Yeah.
He and Jessica, you know, Paul and Jessica, these fucking space names.
It was an exotic name in 1960.
Sure. they find Zendaya and her crew. And he kills the guy, and then they're just leaving, and that's where the movie. That's literally mm-hmm. where the movie.
I can respect that, but then that also just makes me sad because, like, man, even in 1960, whatever, huh? It's just all the same shit. Like, no, we've never learned or done better as a people. Like, we're still just like we want oil, and we don't care what happens to brown folks. That's just where we're at. 60 or 70 years later, God, this Earth, man, fuck me. but yeah, that's all in there. And yeah, I was curious if that was like directly from the source material, if that was like a layer that they tried to add onto the adaptation.
I don't believe I heard anyone at any point in time say the spice must flow, and I'm disappointed.
That's such a like a meme thing to say at this point.
Say it, damn it. You're going to make me sit through
it's like
Paul
the opposite of,
doing shit.
It's like the opposite of Star Wars Visions.
The next one. yeah, right. Everybody's got to have a bad right.
team. Yeah, everybody. I haven't finished watching those either, but I did like the one or two that I put on. But
I generally like them.
Yeah, but that thing about them, that everybody, that every little anime thing has at least one line from Star Wars. It's like, that's weird. You guys
always that one.
How much screen time did the Shai Hulud get?
Like the native people in Dune or whatever?
No, the Shai Hulud's the snake or the worm.
The worm god.
I mean they're in there.
It shows up like when there's
I'm sure they're sandworms.
Yeah, there's a scene where one attacks a thing, and then there's a scene later where one
eats some people.
Yeah,
it chases Paul and Jessica across the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And then the movie ends.
If character, because like you know, I never read Dune, and I also like it. I've also like only seen the old movie like once, and like
a trip.
And so, like, the thing is, like, you know, you have a name for, like, a worm god that's Shai Hulud, and then the characters' names are Paul and Jessica.
Yeah,
like,
that's the thing about the naming
man.
That was bizarre to me, too, because even, like, the names of, like, their, like, houses and stuff, and even, like, their last names are, like, properly,
the,
like, these are proper
the
sci-fi
name is
terms
Leto
for stuff.
Atreus. Like, that's
yeah,
sci-fi!
Like,
and then it's, like, he married, or he didn't marry,
if it was
he
more
took Jessica.
If it was more consistent, like, I wish she I don't know who wrote Dune. I wish he had gone all the way and made everybody just, like, a dry Anglo-Saxon... Just like John James, just go even harder and the like these are brown people and this is oil and this is like Great Britain
yeah,
or whatever.
Like, that's why they have white people names for sure.
But like go harder with it, man. Just like call
don't
him,
be such a bitch.
Yeah, call him House Lannister.
Hubert?
I don't give
is
a fuck.
Is that what his name is? Who wrote Dune? I need to know now.
But anyway,
Lorraine's going to tell us that tonight. Now
Lorraine's going to tell us who wrote Dune, and then we're going to move on.
Frank Herbert.
Yeah, you should. I'd be curious to see what other people think who are invested in the source material. But like I said, I wouldn't be surprised at all if it also drags a lot because they just really need to make more movies.
I was right. Herbert was in there.
Not Kyle Herbert. He's a voice actor.
It's Frank Herbert.
Yeah, he's Gohan.
Right. You say he's Gohan.
God, I wish Gohan was in this movie.
And Ryu, I believe, from Street Fighter.
Yeah, I think you're right.
he didn't write Dune. That's all I'm saying.
No, I mean, he might have written one of those spinoff books. They'll let anyone do that.
That's right. Yeah.
Anyone Dune that.
Got $100 for a royalty fee and a good idea.
Isn't Warhammer a bad idea, right? Isn't it like the Warhammer thing? Isn't there like some franchise that does that too?
I mean, I'm probably sure. I bet
there's something in particular I'm thinking about. Who cares?
Star Wars pre it being acquired by Disney.
Yeah, a billion of those books.
Mm-hmm. 65 is also pretty early too. That was like I was, because when I looked it up, I was like, I'm part of my opinion of this is going to be what year it came out. Because if this is like a post Star Wars and Star Trek. Then I'm going to think much lesser of it than if it's the opposite. And
no,
it's just early enough in the sci-fi timeline that I'm like, all right, I can let this slide.
I mean, that's the whole point, because everything comes from Dune, basically.
That the first movie was supposed to be like, oh, you like Star Wars, huh? Mm. Oh, but check this thing out. And then it was what it was.
Yeah, they got...
It was Dune.
David Lynch, I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
There was a David Lynch. I can't remember if he was going to be the one that had the failed version or the one that...
So that's what happened with that movie is I think he filmed like a four and a half hour cut of it, and then they wouldn't release it, and then they gave it to somebody else to kind of like Justice League to chop up into little pieces, and then they released like a 2 hour cut with just some placeholder like director name on it because he wouldn't be attributed to the work.
Show us the whoever cut. Actually, don't. I don't want to see it. I don't want to subject myself.
There's some wild shit that went on with another incarnation of that movie that never came out. I'm trying to find it.
Mm-hmm. But Dune's a thing.
But like, I don't want to just speculate on what it was because it was so wild.
Sure. Someday, maybe.
Cursed.
We'll see how the Dune sequels do, and then go from there. But, I'm gonna kick it over to. I'm gonna point at somebody and
Andrew and Joe to Ralph.
Yell at them.
Sure.
Phil, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
How you doing?
I haven't seen Dune, and I haven't read Dune, but I don't really know any of the things you're talking about.
Well, I'm better off. We're segueing now. We're stepping off. I think I'm just going to check in on how everybody's like recent is going, because you're doing... Everybody's got like one big thing going on, I feel like.
I had Dune.
Since the last time I was on, I've got two big things going on.
Tell us about any number of them you feel comfortable with in any order.
Got a new job and it's super awesome.
Yeah, I forgot that happened since the last time we recorded this. Like,
I know, right? Yeah. It's been
it's so weird because people get new jobs and they're still working from home or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Right, my life
have the same job.
In theory, my life didn't change much, but in actuality, it changed a lot.
Yay!
Like you said, it sounds like for the better so far, which is two thumbs up.
In pretty much every conceivable way. It's easier and less stressful and pays better and is permanent remote.
Awesome.
So like, I don't know if there's a box that wasn't
ticked. That's real good.
And it's affording me the opportunity to put an offer on a new house, which is what I just did an hour ago. So hopefully I can go be a hermit somewhere.
Mm-hmm. That's really awesome. Congratulations.
You bought property in South Dakota, didn't you?
Not that far.
Arrakis.
Yep, that's it.
Desert side.
I looked it up. It's like 10% further of a drive for everyone in this chat, except for Brian, who it's exponentially further for.
No.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that was going to be true no matter where
I'm
it was.
So close now.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you like moved into his basement.
Yeah, but for Kyle and for more vetoes, it's like 10% further away for you guys. But nice. It's much nicer, so you guys can come swim and relax. I won't get it. But it's been on the market for 100 days, so I'm guessing they're not getting a lot of offers.
Uh-huh, right, they're not super picky at this point if they're trying to offload that property. So
the real question is, did I lowball it too hard?
So I gotcha. We'll find out.
So here's my real question is, I wonder if they're going to if they're going to just refuse the offer or if they're going to counter offer.
I didn't lowball it by that much, so I don't think there's any universe where they just refuse it. They'll counter offer if they don't like it. We'll go from there. If they straight up just said, no, we want asking price, I'm not going to pay it.
Yeah.
I've already decided.
Sure. I mean, that's all right, it can stay on the market for 100 more days then.
Well, bye.
That's
exactly,
fine. Right. Yeah.
They're asking for $90,000 more dollars than it would have been worth a year ago today, and they didn't do anything to it. So.
Yeah, so the things that the important things have only aged more.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's everything's inflated right now, but I feel like theirs is a little too inflated.
Yeah, it's like they're what they want for it is like inflated cynically, even if partially because they put no effort into improving it when selling it.
On the other hand, I want all the money for my condo.
That's how all this works.
Exactly. We'll see how both sides of that go.
Yeah, that's bizarre because I can't even we're right back into everybody has settled in on everything going around the horn is just that there will be limited supply of everything still in the short term because all supply chain, everything is fucked. But the housing market is so much weirder than that because one of the problems with the housing market is that demand or supply is already so short, but it's also much less elastic than people can want or not want Nintendo Switches on a whim, but at the end of the day,
you need a house.
Right. You need a house. Yeah.
No, you need to have $1,000 a month apartment that you save month to month.
Well, but the other part of that is at what point do people get off the carousel of I feel like we've got to be close to the end of the arc where people who were just straight upgrading are that's kind of petering out to some degree probably I don't know what that does to housing prices in the next 12 months or whatever. It's
I suspect they'll stay pretty stable to where they are right now. They've already dipped a little bit a couple months ago. So this year has been sort of if you drew a graph, it would look very strange, kind of straight up and then not straight down, just a loop down and then stable after that for about 2 months. And we're at the end of that 2 months.
Okay.
And it's projected to be pretty similar next year. So the rates went up a little bit right around the same time that it dropped a little bit, and now they're stable again. So
sure. I mean, that makes sense. Yeah.
Now's the time.
Yeah, people aren't getting mortgages on huge houses at 2.89% or whatever.
Yeah, right. It's a little higher than that now, which I'm getting 3 1/8, which is pretty fucking amazing.
That's really
I'm very happy about it. But yeah, over the summer, people were getting under 3, which is a bigger difference than paying an extra $30,000 or $40,000 on a house.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One percentage point of interest is more money.
Yeah, whatever,
if you plan on staying there.
Right.
Yeah, if you plan on staying in the home for a while anyway.
Oh, man, everything is such a such a mess.
I mean, honestly, over the winter, I could see the market just coming down just a little, a hair more, as it kind of typically does during the winter.
It usually does, yeah. What'll happen more than the prices changing is just that supply will sort of dry up because people just don't list their homes that much in the winter, mm-hmm. and people don't buy them either. But the prices will stay about the same, but you just won't see any action.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if that's as true in, in regions that don't have winter as ones that do, or is it just a kind of?
No, it's not actually. It's
might even go up.
So right now, I'm at my new company. I only do loans in what they call the central region, which is central time zone, I guess, is an easier way to say it.
Okay.
But most of my loans right now are already Texas.
Oh, and, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say 70% of all of my loans right now are Texas, and it'll stay that way or become more than that over the next few months. So
ever feel bad letting people move to Texas?
No. Most of these clients are people in their 50s and 60s who have literally like $2 million sitting in an account somewhere.
That's right. You got to run. Run their information through the metadata machine and see how likely they are to vote Democrat, and then approve them. All right, you're in.
Thank God.
Yeehaw, motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm guessing based on what two things I know about them, those aren't going to be.
Well, yeah, you know, they have lots of money and they're old.
Of that for my company. Yeah. And the people who are younger are the people who I have buying homes in Minnesota for $180,000. So.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that all makes sense.
Minnesota needs good voters, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
I mean, all right. Here's my crazy idea that, like, there's a kernel of wisdom to it. Take 300,000 voters from New York and put them in Wyoming. Just say whatever it takes.
All right, these two Senate seats are ours now.
Yes.
I mean, it could be done. Like, it just like right. You have to find 300,000 souls willing to live in Wyoming. who would vote blue otherwise?
Wyoming, 580,000. So you can figure, even if 40% of those are Democrats. You don't need that much to actually tip the scale.
You're not wrong. I don't know how many people from New York are going to do that.
I bet you could find, if like you found the right fund for this, I bet you could do it, especially with work from home.
See, so, like, this is the type of crazy scheme. If you were a billionaire who wanted kind of real change, I would do something really weird like this.
I was just thinking of Michael Bloomberg when I started talking about, like, if you really care, like, that's what you would do. You could easily afford it.
I don't think he really cares.
Well, I knew that, unfortunately.
Do you guys remember like 10 years ago or however long it was when Detroit was going through bankruptcy and there was one unhinged lunatic who was making the rounds on like Fox News or whatever that was like, yeah, I want to buy Belle Isle and turn it into Rapture. Like, I just want to make it a libertarian utopia with no laws.
God, I don't remember that.
I also don't remember that.
Oh, okay. That was a thing for like 10 minutes. And it did not occur, but...
Didn't?
Thank God.
No, it's just a state park now.
Better off.
But, you know, for one shining moment, it was that, and then people wanted to buy the DIA before people signed off on that village. They were like, let's just take all the art and put it on a street corner, and we'll have people raise their hands and see how much they'll pay for. it was a very strange time. But, yeah, that's a thing that happened.
Delightful.
Well, that's exciting. I hope that either that goes through, because you've been shopping around for, like, a little while, right?
And I've been looking for almost a year on and off.
Yeah, right. I knew that, like, but now is obviously, if you're putting in offers, it's more serious than just, like, pulling up Zillow and clicking refresh or whatever every, like, week.
Budget and prospects and urgency all changed when I got this job. So.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And I've looked at a handful of other places recently. Haven't had good luck with the houses I was interested in. I've told this story a couple of times, so sorry for those of you hearing it again. But I was interested in a home that had been on the market for more than 4 months and requested a viewing, and literally hours later they were like, oh, it just sold. So maybe that'll happen with this house too.
Right. Which would be even funnier, like, considering it's been on the market for so long that, like, someone beat you by 6 hours or whatever.
That other house was on the market even longer.
Oh, it okay.
4 months. Yeah. And the day I said I wanted to view it is the day that it sold.
Well, this time you're the one that's going to snipe
that's
it
right, out. That's right. You're going to leave some other schmuck holding the bag with no home.
I'm at least in the running this time.
You could sell your condo to that guy.
That's right.
Do I have an offer for you?
Well, that's exciting. Yeah, I hope that all works out. Fingers crossed. In other news, we can work our way from, like, most to least impactful in life things. Brian got a new job recently.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have a really cool job that I don't really want to talk about all the details
on
the internet.
Yeah, you don't need to tell me, like, what's up with it. Just tell me that you're happy, and I'll smile and nod and be glad for you.
It's everything looks good. Everything sounds good. I'm stoked about it. And this new job made me realize just how upset and I was with and how shitty my old job was.
Yeah, and that's the thing about quitting and getting a new gig is that, like, even if 6 months from now it becomes a shitty job, for those brief shining, like, couple of weeks early on, it will be fresh and not terrible just because it's a change of pace. Like,
I mean, so to be fair, like, everyone that I met at the company had been there for comfortably over 5 years and was happy.
That's good. That's always a good sign.
Yeah. And there were a few guys that had been there for over 25 years.
Wow.
And, you know, weren't, like, worn down, beaten, like, you know, emotionally vacant codgers.
Yeah. Right. Because usually people, like, like, employees will tell you, like usually other people who are working around you, like, even if they don't, like, explicitly tell you, like, you can just tell, like, if you, like, when you look at someone on their 15th year at their desk, it's just like, oh, you don't look so great.
Like, right. Yeah. So, I mean, just by meeting my coworkers and just, like, seeing the general attitude, I'm like, okay, this is good. Because I'm even going to venture to guess that the guy that I'm replacing is going to still be a pretty happy guy, because he's leaving not for the fault of the company, but because he just got a better opportunity.
Right, there's a lot of that going around anyway, where it's, yeah, everybody's trying to, if you can upgrade or side grade.
Yep. Yeah, so it's like, you know, everything's on the up and up with that. It's like, and, you know, all the benefits I'm getting on day one are better than the benefits I had after 5 years at my last company.
Woo!
So that's, like, insane to me.
That's real cool.
I think people really underestimate how much more they can get by leaving their jobs in a lot of cases.
And it just... Go ahead.
That's a generational thing. Like, moving upward in one company is never going to be as profitable for the most part, you know, generally speaking, as moving between companies.
Yeah, all you need to do is go to, like, you know, go to any shitty conference where a bunch of managers get into a room together and pat each other on the back for how awesome they are, and that tells you everything you need to know about trying to get fair treatment in a position you're already in. Mm-hmm. Because every single person's it is maybe finally starting to shift a tiny bit right now, but, like, up to this point, I feel like for our entire lives, it has, every single person in charge of hiring anyone has been like, every single one of you is infinitely replaceable. If you want to leave, fuck off. I do not give a shit. And finally, after everything that's gone on in the last, like, coming on 2 years now, like, people are slowly beginning to realize that it is in fact less profitable to just leave positions vacant, or just have, like, one seat turnover every 2 months and, like, have to retrain people for, you know, for the duration of their stay, basically, before they move on to some other shit.
And it's funny because, like, you know, there have been studies that have been published for the better part of 15 years that have said that turnover is one of the biggest expenses for most companies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anytime that you mention it to any kind of management, they go,
and then that's the one's training.
Yeah, and then you quit, and then they hire a new person that's like, oh, I like chicken tenders. And then
it was a flawless imitation of me.
Uh-huh. Or it's the opposite. Like, it'll either be that where they get somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, or, like I said, it'll be the other thing where they get someone who is theoretically just as competent. But, like, if they are competent, they'll, you know, stick around for no longer than the longest they need to, and then go somewhere better because they are competent enough to get a different job.
Right.
So you're fucked either way if you don't give people some fucking incentive to stick around. Yeah.
I mean, the big thing is, like, they, above anything else, they just need to listen to their fucking employees. Yeah. Like, pay attention when they tell you things and ask you things and all that stuff. That's the bare minimum. Because if you don't do that, then like, you know, you can do whatever the fuck you want that you think is going to make your employees happy, but they're just going to be like, this is dumb, I'm leaving.
Yeah, and nine times out of ten, you can get the performance out of people you want with the carrot and not the stick. Like, if you are chill enough to be like, all right, I realize that you have to pick your kid up from school so you can, you know, You can go home 2 hours early a couple days this week, and then when I really need you to work some overtime 6 months from now, like, there's a much more higher chance that you'll do it without protest because you showed me some fucking basic respect in, like, of being a human being at some point in the past.
Mm-hmm. And that's 100% true. Like, if a company's flexible with if management's flexible with their employees, the employees are a lot more likely to be flexible. You know, you're going to have rare cases where there's someone that's going to, you know, capitalize on the management's flexibility, but right. not reciprocate. But that's always going to happen. And when that guy comes around, if it shows a pattern, you get rid of him. That's it.
Yeah. And conversely, every time you crack the whip, like, you have people looking for the exits. It's mm-hmm. like, all right, this is like, how am I going to get out of here? Like, I can't keep doing this because... they're not treating us like humans. Like, it's just it's very frustrating.
So I mean, like, all signs point that my new job is none of that, you know, none of that bad shit, so I'm just thoroughly excited.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
looking
really
forward
happy.
To more reports as you get more time there.
And yeah, like it, and as I explained in our, you know, private discussions, like, I am, it's going to be a gambit of just, like, a huge, like, gauntlet of learning to get the full scope of the job. Because, like, when I walked in today, I was like, oh, this is a little bit intimidating because I don't know what any of these specific systems are yet.
Uh-huh.
But once I, you know, once
especially for such a big, like, just complex in general, like, there's a lot of pieces moving at any given point in time, no matter where you are.
Right. And so, like, it's, you know, and that's why I'm glad, like, you know, I'm going to have time with the guy I'm replacing because it's going to save me a lot of grief in the long run.
Yeah. And I kind of like that process, honestly. Like I said, it depends on the circumstances where you're being pulled in at. But as long as you're not, like, sat down at a desk and expected to know 100% of the things you're mm-hmm. supposed to know from day zero, like, I like the honeymoon period of, like, getting used to new stuff. Like, it's just stimulating. Mm-hmm. It's,
Yeah, definitely. And I know that, like, you know, it'll be fine. Like, you know, I know how to learn tons of different things. And
You're a smart guy, Brian.
Smart's an exaggeration. But
I didn't say intelligent. I just said smart.
SMRT.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so that's all good, you know. And I'm tired because I slept 2 hours last night, but I still was cheery and happy about everything, about, like,
short,
you know,
work, cheery as fuck.
Like, yeah, and, you know, it's like my first day was like, sit down and, you know, watch sit down with an HR person and while she goes over a fucking a PowerPoint, and, you know, that's not exciting, but I was still just stoked because whenever there's a bit of information that wasn't disseminated to me yet, I was like, oh, you know? Yeah, so it's, you know, it's good.
Rad.
Right on. Very cool. Glad to hear it. Lorraine, we've kind of been up to, like... I'll get into, like, you specifically, has there been anything weird or interesting at work going on? Like, you're finished Halloween, right? Like, you personally?
I personally am. We've got one more week of it, Thursday through this Sunday.
Right, it's going through Halloween, but you are done.
Yeah,
I worked
my last night this past Saturday.
Uh-huh.
So this week I get 2 days without the public at all tomorrow, Wednesday, which is super exciting.
Headphone day.
Hell yeah. And then... better part about Thursday and Friday is up until like 4 ain't gonna be people in our building. They're gonna be walking or whatever, but they're not gonna be inside, so I can still wear my headphones for most of the day.
Nice.
So we vibing, and I was confronted, well, myself and the other decorator, we were confronted by the shop lead. She just comes over, she's like, what do you guys want to do now? Because, like, we're pretty much done with the catalog stuff, which we've been busting our asses over for the entire year, basically.
Stuff. Mm.
I have made over 1,000 ornaments personally, probably closer to 1,500 if I'm being honest at this point. Yeah. Well, we needed 2,000 and I for the specific catalog ones, and then we added an extra 500 or 400. I don't fucking remember. It might have been 400 or 300. Like later, like September, and it came out that month.
Yeah. there you go.
And I had to bust my ass to do those.
Rain, you're solving the supply chain problem all by yourself.
You know it.
Your 8-year-old.
Rain is the supply chain.
Right.
I am the
Your 8-year-old can't get that Fortnite action figure because, you know, China's fucked or whatever. We got ornaments at the...
Hell yeah, we do. But, I mean, we've just been, like, just nonstop, like, just making catalog stuff. And now that we're done... Like, she's like, well, what do you want to do? And I'm just like, I have never worked non-production for a long, like an extended period of time that I wasn't being trained. Like, because when I started 2019 May, and that was most of that year was pretty much all training. About maybe like this time or whatever that year, I was pretty competent in the things that I was able to do. Over that winter, so we're closed to the public January through most of April, we were working on learning a lot of the catalog pieces. Lo and behold, March comes and we shut down completely and I'm off of work for 6 months. And then come right back into it and it's like, catalog!
Catch up time.
And I basically have been doing that almost exclusively since then. There was a little bit of time last winter where it was like, oh, well, do you want to like, just kind of work on stuff. I practiced more Sgraffito, got better at lettering. I'm not the best at it, but I'm definitely getting more competent at it. But I haven't really had a time to just like do pottery. And I've been having a lot of conversations the few times I've worked with her recently after not working with her for like 3 months is with the lead decorator. And she's just been telling me about how like different it is, how it used to be before the catalog and before we became a production shop. Like we didn't have a presenter. People would just come in and see what we were doing. We weren't like hard pressed, like from every single angle, trying to just turn out shit constantly.
And at that point it would have just been sold in like one or two of the gift shops.
Yeah. It would have all been on campus. I don't think the Liberty Craft Store was necessarily there until they did the big Village renovation. So it would have just been...
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
The Village store and the museum one, and that was it. Then they brought in the catalog. Then they brought in the web store. And then they're like, you're just going to make the same stuff. Like, we've all kind of been, like, boxed in certain things. One of the potters is doing porcelain. One of them has been doing kind of all the like specialty novelty redware stuff, like the pumpkin luminaries, the snowman candy jars, all that stuff. She's been doing those exclusively. The guy's been doing like almost all stoneware. And like we've been so compartmentalized all year long. And it's just really weird to think about not doing that for even just a little bit. So I'm going to be working with the shop lead tomorrow, so maybe we'll figure out
That's exciting.
What I'm going to be doing.
Right, that's its own little, excuse me, its own little, like, fresh start of, like...
It is. Like, I'm excited about it.
Like, a clean slate to work on, like, maybe one or two things that are, like, really creative and different, like, compared to just churning stuff out.
I really enjoy doing those Sgraffito plates, even though most of the ones that I was really practicing on were the set designs that we used for the custom wedding and baby plates that we're not doing at the moment because we don't have the fucking people for it. But learning to do those was really fun. I did a lot of just like unique, like one-off Sgraffito plates, which were super fun. But it's weird to like not have the word coming down from above of like, you need to do this, this, and that when I've had such a like standard schedule pretty much since we opened to the public again. Like it's just been, I've been working on the same things for like, it's been like 6 months and just like, I don't know how to not be in production mode because that's all I've been doing basically.
Now you're about to find
learning
out.
And playing catch up.
At least for the next little bit, you'll figure it out. Well, that's exciting.
But kind of on the note that like Brian was mentioning about his workplace, like after the dust settled and everything kind of shook down from last year, like I'm still the most, I would say employed youngest by a long shot. I've only been here for like 2 years. The next highest is like just around 10. And it goes up to like, she's going to be at her 30th year next year. Like there's very little turnaround in the pottery shop. So as far as I'm aware, I would like to be in it for the long haul. Like I'll probably be the last bastion of this group. Which is going to be wild.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I think you should do it as long as you enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And you should just make that known to your managers, too. Like I said, when you do like reviews and stuff.
Whenever we do those, like, again, because Lord knows they don't want to give us merit raises. It'll happen
someday, but...
yeah. You're days away from quitting, and if they don't pay up, you're out. They don't even know
I mean,
truth.
It would...
Sometimes you just gotta break a bottle on somebody's desk and hold it up to your own neck.
I'm coming for you, Josh. You'll see. You and Melinda are gonna get it.
Don't stop me. I'm crazy.
That's right.
No, I'll just smash some pottery in front of them. I'll just go nuts. Yeah, there you go. Fully unhinged. Nice. Tip over one of those ancient, like, face water coolers that are terrifying, and I hate them. They're cursed. I swear, some of these giant pieces we have that were made earlier in the shop are very, very cursed.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. That's exciting news. I'm glad to hear that things have stabilized and get to mess with some other stuff. That'll be neat.
I mean, they stabilized after like 10 months of nonstop work.
But I mean, the alternative is that things never do, Lorraine.
I know, so, but you know, it's been a weird year, and then they're trying to do more. Even more than we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. They're probably not going to hire anyone ever again. So, cool.
Kyle, how you been doing? I know there's one thing you've been up to that I want to hear a little bit about, but is there anything in your personal life that's like anything interesting, anything weird?
Got out of trials hell today.
That's good. That's something.
In what way?
I committed that, like I said, I was going to go solo follow. I did.
Yeah.
I got it.
Did you check your metrics? Did you like look up how many games it took to accomplish that?
Over 50.
Oh,
that's a lot. I'm not surprised it took that many, but that is a lot. Yeah. I mean, I played about that much Gambit in one day and got nothing other than playing Gambit out of it. So,
right.
You know,
every card I'd get the four wins, and then my opponents died, fell on their joystick, and ran forward.
Oh, we found a surprise Wade.
Wow.
Surprise. Well, I'm proud of you for doing it. Like I said, I didn't have the fortitude. Like, I barely had enough. Like, my goal for solo trials was like, I'm going to finish the three wins I need on this wealth card for the stupid title, and I'm going to finish three more wins on the confidence card so that the next time I play trials as a group, I only need to win exactly 7 games to get the stupid title. And I accomplished those things, but it also took me like probably 15 games to do it. So,
blowing up every game for a whole week here.
I got my 20 round wins yesterday, and that's all I wanted to accomplish. Five of those wins, or not? No,
five of the rounds.
It would have been, yeah. Well, wins. Three of those rounds in particular did involve knocking a clanmate out of his mercy, which then cost him later when he lost his last game.
I mean, you can say that, but it's not really true.
he did burn his mercy on that game.
Butterfly entirely.
Right. That's right. Everything would have been different.
And I still think it's funny that I had like I think it was 20 or lower percent chance of winning that game at all.
You're vastly underrated, I'm guessing.
I'm like silver 3 in trials.
Oh yeah, that's not accurate.
I know.
That's not right.
But you know, it worked to your benefit in probably maybe some of those games, but
I did out Invis Hunter. Josh specifically on one very particular occasion, which I did send to our voice chat as a clip. He's like, he's just like, I didn't even fucking see you. He's like, you were invisible for the right amount of time. And I'm like, gotcha.
Glad Wade's here now, because I had to switch to Graviton for it. So good for this level.
Oh, right? Funny. The secret
and
sauce.
That's when it kicked up just enough to win more games.
Which is funny, because this is also maybe the single best Gemini level in the game, aside from
Anomaly. I love Gemini.
Okay, I was resistant to switch off of, but I figure my teammates are idiots anyway, so
I'm not going to be able to take advantage of your Gemini.
You're right, they wouldn't even know most of the time.
I was able to tell.
Graviton is definitely the selfish way to play that.
Man, it worked great.
I was always able to tell when Josh was near me because I'd get the Gemini ping. And I'm like, oh, I know who that is.
I was worried because I won about 2/3 of my games. It's just, you know, when you're losing every third game, it feels like you're losing every game. Mm.
Yeah.
I thought my ELO was going to tank. I was actually up 150 in the session. So.
Oh, funny. Neat.
So I'm guessing the games you lost, you weren't favored. And some of the games you won, maybe even.
Yeah, like I've kind of looked through it. Like I lost a close one. I had a diamond teammate who went 0.3. For this guy's top 500, and I never had a chance.
The two games, because I actually did reset my card at one point. I really don't know why. I don't understand trials. So my first card, the two games that I lost, I had a 1% chance of winning, and two of the guys were legends on both, one guy on both team, and we got just completely obliterated.
Right.
That gold star ghost or whatever, when I looked on Destiny Tracker, was like, I have literally never seen that icon before. What does that mean?
Huh. They changed it from top 500 to top 1%.
Yeah, I was going to say, because they were like, they were in like maybe the thousands or something. But
okay.
Right. I'm sitting at legend in survival trials and Iron Banner, and none of those am I top 1,000 or better.
I think my highest is like diamond 3.
That's what I did today instead of all the things I set out to do today.
Yay!
Well, you accomplished something.
Right,
do those things tomorrow.
Right, imagine how much worse it would feel if you were still playing and didn't get it.
I didn't have much more time left on the clock. I literally finished like 20 minutes before I came in.
Oh, man, that's
cool. I'll do a couple of things I really wanted to do.
Well, here's a question that... be a clean and easy segue. Which did you enjoy more, going solo flawless in trials or beating Metroid Dread?
I mean, Metroid Dread is much more enjoyable, but it doesn't have that, you know.
Anybody can do it.
I'm trying to think of the word. It's escaping me. Euphoric moment of success.
Right, sense of accomplishment. Finally, it's I got it. I got through it. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't taxing necessarily.
We'll take that segue and do spoiler-free Metroid.
Yeah, right. Dread, you don't need to tell me specifics about encounters or
we know that,
or whatever.
Fantoon comes out of the floor and just kills everyone, like Dustin said last night.
Yeah. All the ghosts of all the Metroids you ever killed pop out of his eyeball and eat you to death.
And you got to use the vacuum to suck them up, right?
Then you play Luigi comes in on the time machine.
Samus's mansion.
Uh-huh. But Phil had said, I think, the other day that in general, most people online are putting this game somewhere in their top three Metroid things. Does it land in there for you, or?
I guess, Metroid Prime and Super Metroid are such a high bar, and it's, unfair to compare specifically Super Metroid to this, because Super Metroid is a game from 30 years ago that I played at the time. There's a lot of influence from that game to this, but I don't know how I would feel about this one if I played it, when I was 8 and I played Super Metroid today.
Right.
Mm.
And I can sit here and tell you all the things I liked and didn't like about plenty. And just, you can do the same things Super Metroid, kind of. And I don't know even, how specific I want to get about, linearity and backtracking and zone and stuff like that. It's got all that. It's better than Metroid Fusion, easily.
Okay.
Okay.
What's the in terms of performance and stuff, does it run well on the Switch? Does it feel like it drops frames at all, or how do the graphics look over the course of the run?
It looks nice. Every now and then it feels like it drops a few frames.
Were you mostly on the TV or handheld?
TV. I don't know if that makes a difference.
I think it does, because
the OLED model, if that makes
it depends on how the game is coded, because you can on the dev side, you could lock it to it's going to be 720 and handheld regardless, because the screen's just not capable of doing more. The OLED might be 1080. I don't remember, but on TV,
It does run 60 frames per second most of the time.
Okay.
So, all right, and it looks good. It looks great just in motion.
Okay.
The animations for Samus have never. You'll see weird little animations, and she'll put her hand on something and at a weird angle, and it's like, I can't believe they went to the trouble to code that little thing in there, and it always looks great.
I like stuff like that, little tiny,
And she's fun to control. This is the most mobile Samus has ever been to, and makes the game just all.
Okay, right on. Yeah, I was mostly just curious.
It takes a lot of what was in Metroid 2 Remake. I don't know the actual name, but it takes a lot of that. Just expand on it. I assume for people who played that game, there was a lot of the counter mechanic. Every enemy had a moment where you could smack them with your arm and do, an instant kill shot or whatever. And it's still in this game, but it felt like in that game, you could only beat things that way. You really couldn't interact with them any other way until you were really in the game. And in this game, you could still do that, but for most cases, you don't have to. And that makes it much more interesting to just engage with any given opponent or random healer. Like, I can kill it any number of ways instead of having to wait through the window to do the counterattack.
I was just curious. Yeah. Well, oh, one other thing I was going to ask is how did the same people make that? This game is the made that remake?
Mercury Steam.
Okay.
Right. It's got a lot of the same blood in
it. That was the vibe I got off of the trailers and stuff I've seen. It felt very similar to that. Not in a bad way, just in a natural evolution of like an engine or like general style or whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was interesting to see them kind of make their own story as opposed to readapting the previous.
Cool.
And it's certainly a smaller thing and like an action thing, so it definitely matters more that game like meets its performance requirements for the most part. But I was still just curious, I was curious if Switch games, like if the Switch feels like it's getting long in the tooth across the board at this point for new stuff that's coming out, because I am still, I'm still blown away by how bad technically that Pokemon game looks every time they put a trailer up for it. I mean, like every time they put footage of that thing, it's like, it's running at 10 frames a second sometimes. Yikes.
The secret of that story is that Game Freak is a terrible developer.
it's
not a PS5 game by any stretch.
It's more important that it runs well than like they go nutso on resolution or like light effects or whatever, like especially for a game like that.
I'd like to come back to this discussion once some other people play the game and talk about some of the things that happened.
Yeah, I would love to do that.
There's a lot of really good spoiler talk that we can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can do that whenever.
I'm going to say what I can without really spoiling anything.
Right.
It's a great game. I could put it third. I don't necessarily care about ranking.
High.
But yeah, it's better. It's all right. You know, and maybe it'll do over time.
Mm-hmm.
It's still got like all the sequence breaking and stuff that if you really get into it, you can skip this and get this out of order.
Yeah, I'd seen some people on Twitter saying that they just like did a handful of things just completely out of order.
One thing I'll say about it is that it felt kind of, I don't know, programmed, like it was built by a computer program to imitate Super Metroid in a lot of ways.
All right.
I had an AI watch thousands of hours of Super Metroid speed runs, and this is the game it created.
And kind of like what I was saying, you can't compare to a game you played yourself. You know, it just feels like you're running through that same script of Super Metroid again, but you can see all the string behind the scene.
I mean, you mean like literally mechanically? Like, is this like a Street Fighter situation where like combos were an accident and then them as a conscious choice to in the series going forward?
You'd have to go back and find out what the intent for the devs of Super Metroid. You know, when you go through that game, it feels like you have complete freedom and, you know, you go any direction you go and then finding the right way. You know, about a moment I found it because I'm a genius. And like, Tread still has that. There's a lot of it there, but in a lot of cases, like just because I've played so many games, especially Metroid, like I can see how the game guides you from one section to the next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotcha. That glowing moss means go this way.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But if there's a way I could go now with this power up I just got, I should go that way. And like it's not nearly as linear as like I said, Metroid 4.
Okay.
Which is to its benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right. That's good.
I think if you go back to Super Metroid now, that's still kind of a linear game. But it's just
Right, yeah.
And I would say, like, maybe Metroid Dread, maybe not quite as good at hiding how linear it is.
Okay. Good to know. That's fair. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, because of, like, you know, intentionally doing weird versions of runs in Super Metroid, I went back and I tried to play it less than a year ago, and I was like, how are you, what direction are you supposed to go here? Because just intentionally, like unintentionally doing sequence breaks instead of doing the actual route, and it's just weird. And I kind of hope that I don't do that in Dread when I play it.
I will say, like, because I said that there are sequence breaks, and if you know, like, the mechanics 120%, you can go out of places you're not supposed to go, get things out of order, and that you know naturally opens up the game to a crazy degree. But the thing is, there's an item you can get out of order, and if you go back to the first major boss, there's an instant kill on a phase that the devs left as like an Easter egg. It's pretty neat.
That's fun. Ooh,
okay.
That's really funny.
I don't know anything about this game, but I feel like I know exactly what you mean.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah, that's neat. And at the end of the day, like I said, that's all I really wanted. Yeah, I would love to do another chat about it when more people get the chance to play it. But
yeah,
getting too much into like the story, I like the way that it expands the story up to this point, Metroid 1 through 4. And
right.
It's got a good through line from that, not only within the game, but in the context of the series. And the ending's great. Like, there's one thing that happens in the ending that just makes me so happy that I can't spoil it, or even hint it.
Okay.
It's so good.
Good.
All right. Yeah, because I own it. I just haven't even opened it and tried to play it yet.
Mm-hmm. Been a little busy.
Samus gets all the way naked, doesn't she?
Hell yeah.
I knew it.
This is, you beat it really quickly. Right.
The first Nintendo game with female nipples. Let's go.
Any spoiler, because I don't want to say this bothered me, but you know, like in other Metroid games, like the faster you beat it, the more clothes she takes off.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
This game doesn't do that. Like,
and thank God.
It didn't bother me, but like, because I got the normal ending, I was like, well, if I bet I go faster, I get a different ending, and I got the same ending. Oh, okay.
That's right. Now Samus
chases.
Now Samus chases the pirates around the town.
I read that there is a different ending. I think it might be based on getting 100%, maybe, or maybe speed based, or maybe you got the best ending initially. I don't know.
There's unlockables that you get based on your item collection and how fast you.
Okay.
And they're all just JPEGs. One of them is kind of like the JPEGs of behind the scenes, not behind the scenes. Side story type stuff that kind of fills in holes of kind of what happened in the story, and other ones are just fun little JPEGs of the games. You know, they're neat.
Okay.
But as far as I know, there's no secret ending.
Okay. As far as
you probably would know better than I would. I didn't go out of my way to get this information.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
So the last major Metroid game was Metroid Other M. And, you know, I love the way they characterize Samus in this game because it's such a stark contrast to the horrible way she was characterized in that game. Again,
slap in the face.
Like, she's a badass again. It's great. And in the first couple hours of the game, I even felt like they were overdoing it a little. But either I got more used to it, or I just toned it down enough. Like, all right, this is kind of like how I always envisioned Samus to be.
Right.
That was pretty good for a girl. That was pretty good for a girl. That was pretty good for Rambo.
Like in Metroid Other M, she's just a crying baby for the entire game.
Yeah, right.
The baby.
From a man to do anything. And like Adam, like, I don't know who remembers Metroid 4, but like you find out your computer friend is the spirit of your dead command officer or whatever. Like, he's still in this game, but for the most part, he just spends his time telling you how bad you're doing. It's pretty funny. He doesn't do all the annoying things that he did in the last couple games.
Very cool. Yeah, I'll look forward to at some point having
strong recommend.
That's all I needed to know is like thumbs up or thumbs down. So firm thumbs up.
And it's not like a terribly long game. It paces well compared to the other two.
Okay, that's also good to hear. Right. Not gonna complain about that.
JJ confirmed to me that the current speedrunning strat involves clipping through the floor in one section to shave off a huge portion of the game.
I know they have it down to like 90 minutes or something. Wow.
Holy shit!
And that's only like a couple weeks out or whatever. Give them another year.
Right. Like my first run, I think it took me like 5 or 6 hours, and then like another 3 to get to 100%.
That's pretty solid. I like that. All right. Very cool. Wade McGrath.
That 90-minute record run, is that 100%?
That's 100%.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure the 100% is not too far behind, like 2.5 hours.
Sure. How's it going, Wade? I'll give you a late intro because you popped in midway through to grace us with your presence. What's up?
Nothing.
Fair enough. I just wanted to ask, kind of touching base with everybody.
Playing a game where rats kill everyone.
Rats!
Oh, yeah, rats, I saw you rats, playing that rats, online rats. The other day.
Squeak, 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 squeak.
How's that going?
Plague Tale's pretty good. I saw, I think, initially that it had relatively middling reviews, but I've been really enjoying it.
Okay, I know in certain circles that game is well-regarded, but I don't really know much about it.
It's mostly just like it's got like an 80% or so, which, you know, I consider to be not that great, all things considered, mm-hmm. for being a double A title or whatever. But all things considered, it's very thematic, and there, like, I haven't run into many glaring problems with the game or anything. It's just, you know, it's a stealth game, so it doesn't appeal to anyone who wants anything other than a stealth game.
Mm-hmm.
And it also focuses heavily on the narrative of, well, there's a plague and you're like a 14-year-old girl. There's not really much that you can do, but, you know, survive. And also the Inquisition is out to murder you, so delightful. Good luck.
Okay.
I have a question, Wade. With its name being Plague Tale, is it Tale T-A-I-L or T-A-L-E?
T-A-L-E.
Oh, they fucked up.
A Plague Tale. Five goes about, like, to quarantine.
Carving Lordy. The back ends off of rats and poisoning people with them. That's the whole game.
I mean, if you're running from rats, it only makes sense. So that's why I was like, it's got to be Tail, T-A-I-L. But, you know, people aren't clever or refuse to be clever.
I've said this already and I'll say it again, but I went to that game knowing that there were like a crap-ass ton of rats in the game, and I was still immediately surprised and overwhelmed by how many rats there were.
So rat physics, 10 out of 10, for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's like an ocean of rats sometimes.
I like that. Like I would sit through the portion of the press conference where somebody from Sony is like, all right, here's our water tech.
It's just rats.
Here's how we adapted it for
for rats.
For rodents, right? Can do rats, just you can rolling. Do capybaras, like whatever you want.
I would pay good money for a game where I get to swim in capybaras.
They're so chill and just kind.
Not in this game.
This game, they have the plague.
Oh no.
Plaguey bears.
Plaguey bears.
You know, you're right, I've seen a lot of things in video games, but I'm not sure if I've seen like a zombified capybara. Like maybe somebody needs to get on that.
Let's do it.
I was gonna say, I think for a game like in that, like kind of like not so bespoke that it's like, you know, one person built it in a bedroom, but definitely not AAA. I feel like 80% is almost the exact right amount of approval, because like any lower than that, and you're usually trended into like, oh, it functions very poorly, and any higher than that, and like, in many cases, like it'll be a kind of thing where like, yeah, this is very functionally solid, but like perhaps so many of the edges have been sanded off that like there's nothing unique about it. It's just a well-built, fine thing, right?
Especially if it's a stealth game, like 80 sounds about right, because it's a niche.
Yeah, right. I want some people just to not play it, play a game like that's in that lane. Like I want it to be not for quite everyone.
The contrast that I have in my mind is that, like, there are a lot of indie games that do one really niche thing, and they get, like, you know, 95-plus ratings from tens of thousands of people because it does that thing so charmingly well. And, like, you're right, I don't think that Plague Tale fits that description, but I could see a AA that does.
Sure. That's very cool. I'm glad. That sounds neat. Sounds gross and neat. But like gross in the best way possible. Like tidal waves of rats. Yeah, let's go. You called your game Plague Tale. Let's do it. Yeah. I didn't come here to not be drowned in rats. Like, come on.
To the point of what I said, it being an 80 makes sense because they didn't capitalize on the pun.
It would have been 90, 95 easy if they had renamed it.
Easy, free.
Lean into it, you cowards.
You might be right. You'll have to contact their marketing department. Like, hey guys, you fucked up.
Yeah, it's just send them an email.
To whom,
dear
to
game
whom it
devs.
May concern, you fucked up.
Indeed. Mm. Very cool. Yeah, that's a nice little surprise. I'm glad to hear about that. That's neat.
Right, and for anyone who didn't know, that was free on PSN for one of those months.
Oh, shit. I didn't.
I probably didn't buy it.
Right, yeah, I probably forgot to have it.
Yeah. I've been forgetting.
Looks like I can do it right now. I probably don't have.
I think I've had it on there a little while.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Glad to hear it. Nice little one more little tidbit of interesting stuff. But yeah, that's like I said, I had just heard that like people or I had heard people chattering about liking that game, but I nothing directly from someone, but that's neat.
That was July, apparently.
Okay. Yeah, that's not that long ago. It's just but it's also not now.
Really?
Not long, but an infinite amount of time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's infinitely not now at this point.
Right. Wow. And then now that we've come all the way around the horn,
somebody hasn't told us what he's
right. I think we finally landed on me. I finally put up a YouTube thing.
Yeah.
Took a hot second.
And that YouTube video had some big dick energy.
I'll take that. I'll take big dick energy. Sure. I do think it came across. Here's one of the things I wanted to say about it. So the interesting thing in putting that video together specifically was when I started out, it evolved. Brian, I feel like a lot of the big dick energy came in at the like at the 11th hour, or like it came in two or three drafts in. Because like my first instinct of what to do with that was just to make like a fun fact thing where it was just the like it was just the historical and like. Philosophical reference that Ace makes.
Yeah, that was the script that I remember reading.
Yeah, that was the first draft. It was just that part of it and nothing else, basically. It was just like, oh, here's a funny here's a fun, interesting anecdote about a video game thing. And then just as I as we got closer to like spooky Halloween time and as I was evaluating my own mental state and just like thinking it ended up becoming it ended up becoming a lot more personal and a lot more
more Spanish.
Yeah, a lot more Spanish. Right. Yeah. Right. Because that like both my like the personal tones I put into it and the like wider cultural stuff, even beyond just like the strictly what the words Memento Mori mean outside of being a thing that makes Ace of Spades better. that stuff all kind of came in later, but I'm really happy with how it turned out on the whole. And a lot of that was even coming off of like I feel like the first evolution was the Day of the Dead stuff and and the Spanish, and then the second one was after we went. So here's and I think this might just be because I'm so used to going to the Henry Ford Lorraine because that museum is so much
weirder.
It's not an art museum.
Nope.
And it is so much. Here's an entry level introduction to a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want like to learn about this engineering thing, here's like the 101 version of it on like one placard with one object.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, when I read that they had a Day of the Dead exhibit at the DIA, I thought it was going to be that. I thought it was going to be like, oh, here's like a cultural 101 for like what is up with the Day of the Dead. For people who don't know, like for people who, you know, don't have a Hispanic background or don't celebrate it or whatever. And then when we got there, what it actually was this really emotional, like every single one of the exhibits was an ofrenda built by an artist that was some personal statement of like it actually contained people they directly knew that they had lost, or it contained people from, you know, a marginalized group that they are a part of. Like there was one for
horrific tragedies. Like it was like the airport,
the Beirut.
Yeah.
That fucking port explosion or whatever, which, you know, that feels like it was an eternity ago and it was just like one of 15 tragedies or whatever. Like that happened this year. Well, I think that was this year. Huh?
That was this year. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a lot. So, like, by the time we had finished walking through it, like, I started out, when we were in the first area, I had, like, camera at the ready getting B-roll. And then, like, even past the first room, I just became way more reserved. And, like, I still want to capture footage of things that are visually relevant, but I'm going to wait until, like, every single person is nearest is out of the room so they get, like, time to absorb this without me, like, waving a fucking stupid object around in the air, like, 10 feet away from them. And then, you know. I'm gonna stake the footage I need or whatever, but yeah, it was like so coming out of that, I was like, oh, I really should just go in like let's go feet all the way feels at this point, like considering like how heavy that just was. So that's kind of how that all came together. But like I said, I'm overall pretty happy with it. And the pacing and stuff I think is mostly pretty good. Although those are the kind of things like those are questions I wanted to ask you guys just to get live fire criticism. Like, did you like? I know Brian thought he said it was well, like the duration was good, and like I don't. What did you think of my did I? Was my delivery okay? Did I like? What should I work on verbally? Because I'm still getting my legs under me with that shit too. But
My feedback was like similar to Wade's. Like it felt really professional and like it was done by somebody who has a lot of experience doing it.
The audio quality was also really sharp.
I did, of course, yeah. The Morbido audio quality is legendary.
Yeah, right.
I have spent a lot of the early time in the first 3 weeks of starting to edit the Ford thing was just dialing the audio in to make it sound good in post.
Right.
Because I just had to learn a lot of tricks in Audacity of like post processing stuff, mm-hmm. basically. And the funny thing about that is that like I listened to it in like three or so pairs of headphones after I had posted it, and it actually does sound technically like 10% better. I think like the crappier your headphones are, because a lot of the post like you kind of have to make unless you have like a perfect studio environment with like you know. Perfect, like professional level recording equipment and like baffling everywhere to drown out all other noise. Like at some point you have to make choices with like pure like resonance of the sound versus like just making sure that it is the sound you want and none of the other background sound, like a car backfiring like in the street or whatever. And so by that token, the degree of like compression and post-processing I put on the vocal audio, it flattens out the bass just a hair. Like the voice that comes out of me in that video will be ever so slightly less like bottom endy than like my speaking voice. And right. if you listen to it in crummier headphones like earbuds or whatever, like you don't really notice because those don't have a bottom end to begin with.
yeah. Same.
But when I put on like my much nicer headphones on my desktop computer, it just sounds like a little bit like just a hair trebly compared to like what my speech would be like if you were standing next to me and I was talking to you, but. But as long as it is understandable, that's perfectly fine with me.
The one piece of advice that I would give comes from the legendary Harold Zoid. You need to emote more.
That's and that's yeah, that was
the only thing I was going to say.
I agree with
like
that too.
From a script.
Yeah, because you're 100% right, and that's honestly a thing that I just want to practice.
But also, like, this is a slightly more somber topic.
Right. It doesn't make sense to be all.
So, but yeah, I totally get what you guys are definitely saying.
Right.
Like, throw a pie.
but you'll have to give me, like, a lot of that audio is already down, like over half of it, I think, is recorded. So that's going to kind of be what it is. But you'll have to give me, like, an update on that feedback after that Ford video comes out. Because I've kind of intentionally tried to wax and wane from that, depending on what section of the video that's in.
Right,
and we'll see how it
makes
sense
for that
like,
one too.
As the only other person on this podcast right now who has seen any of the Ford video, there's definitely more energy in a lot of like the lighter spaces of it. I would say,
right,
for
that's
sure.
That was my goal, right, yeah. To make it a little bouncier on the parts that are actually frivolous, mm-hmm. and to kind of flatten it out when it's just like I'm stating a fact about a thing.
A so really, really bad thing.
There's going to be a lot of downers going around, I'm guessing, in that video.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of that parts yet. It's because I'm trying to remember when the last... I watched, like, it was maybe 17
or something. In the edit, I'm just about to where the Nazis come in.
Okay.
So, good, it's only going to go downhill from there in terms of being, you know,
but
sad.
Spoiler alert, I will say that the editing quality is on par, if not higher, than...
Oh, it's got
what
better
it, yeah,
like transitions and like
not even just that, just
silly
like the,
cuts
yeah, the,
and the early
the little
part.
Minutia of it.
It took me forever to do that.
Is
too.
Very funny. I'm enjoying the stuff that I have seen already. So, you've got that to look forward to. I guess you want to look forward to this video.
Something like that. I forget what else I was going
to
say. I was gonna
I'm
say
looking forward to it.
Now I'm racking my brain, but it was a lot of like that first one was. I enjoyed putting it together, and the second thing too. Like I said, it's I'll be glad to get a handful of these under my belt, mm-hmm. and then kind of go from there. But it's been, I was thinking about, this is what I was going to say. It has been the most satisfied I have been to put out a creative thing since I think we did, since we started doing the bigger tournaments for the live streams of the Dragon Ball Z stuff, because it was so, because I will say this confidently, like I said, I appreciate you guys, kind of checking me to make sure that I'm not insane, but like, through my own eyes, like I look at YouTube and I'd be like, all right, 90% of the things on YouTube are bad.
Yeah.
I can tell that at least quality wise, like this is better than like a top 10 list of like favorite farts and you know, kids movies or whatever.
Number 7 will surprise you.
Will it?
Yes.
And you gotta watch to find out.
Exactly.
And that's exactly the way I felt about those that the covering that Dragon Ball Z stuff, I was like, you know, some folks are out here doing some of this, but we just tried really hard and did a really good job at it. Like, we put in an effort and, like, put out a thing that was, like,
we had pretty well put together
for, right, for people who are not being compensated, just kind of, like, doing a thing because yeah. we thought it was awesome.
I got compensated with lunch that one
that's
time.
That's right.
We
got a hotel room out of it that
yeah,
one
that's
time.
True.
It was worth something.
Kyle and I got to eat a way too overpriced for what it was worth free breakfast at the at Worlds.
Good waffles or pancakes or whatever.
Wasn't worth the price, though.
No.
It's good food.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, it is just satisfying to feel like you did a good job and then have at least some people who consume it concur. Because that's how I felt about those.
Me with every creative endeavor ever.
And that's how I felt about this first thing so far, too. So hopefully the next one will go good as well. But if somehow you have discovered this podcast and not that channel, it's go to Oops All Thoughts, type that into YouTube, which was also an intentional, like, I was like, well, the art and the name of this channel should both be kind of dumb.
Wow, some thank
of it,
you.
Well, like, wow. Like dumb is not the right word, but like loose and not serious because some of the stuff that's going to go up here is going to be so dark that like I need to coat it in a patina of like not grim despair. Like it just like the like it needs to guide you in with the fun and then drop the sadness hammer.
Like, fucking kick the chair out from underneath you and have you fall into a pit,
right? And then I promise the thing after the Ford thing will not be a depressing nightmare, because that's another thing that I told Lorraine. I've seen the
cue.
I want to try to go some roughly 50% like things that I think are good and should be championed with like things that I think are horrible and
they
should be
this
pointed
fucking
out.
Fire out.
Right.
History of birthday cakes. Let's go.
At some point, you should make a top 10, Dustin. But I want it to be the most absurd top 10 you can think of.
Oh, do you want to hear my idea for, like, it wasn't going to be top 10, but it was an idea for a different thing,
a
but I could make it a
top
10.
Birthday cakes.
At some point, I wanted to just do a video that is, like, here is, like, every product that is sold explicitly on YouTube and how worthless it is. So that could, like, could be a top 10 of, like, oh, Raid Shadow Legends is garbage trash. This Ridge Wallet is $200 for, like, $4 worth of aluminum.
There's a lot of problems with this idea.
Does that mean
first,
you have to
you'll
buy
never be
those
sponsored
things?
By anyone.
Oh, I don't need to buy. I don't need to buy them. I'm perfectly comfortable reviewing products without like quote unquote products.
You better have a good VPN code for this because YouTube's algorithm is coming for you.
Get Audible in right now, Dustin.
Before
lock
it's too late.
Shit down.
Poor Jeff
man,
catches up with me.
So you're talking about like the Audible Men's Shadow Scape wallet,
sure.
VPN.
Although, I'll say this for Audible, despite it being a shitty Amazon product, I'm assuming with Audible you get what you pay for, right? Like
right,
you expect audiobooks and you get them, like, because some of the other, like, I bounce around web browsers a lot for some of these searches because I don't want all my Nazi shit to be under under like one history.
Why did you just feed all of that to Bing and then just leave it there?
Right, exactly, 100%. Lorraine asked me, she was like, why are you using Edge? And that is one of the reasons.
Yikes.
But then also, like, I don't have any ad blockers or whatever on some of them, so if I just click through a thing on YouTube, like, some of these YouTube videos I've seen, it's just like, do you want a phone charger that will make your phone battery triple its capacity? And I'm like, what the fuck are you even talking about? You're just lying. Like, this is just a fabricated, like, that USB thing probably steals your credit card information when you plug it into the wall. Like,
mining,
like,
crypto.
I can't believe that this is allowed.
If you put in code battery10, you'll get 10% off.
Yeah, so, yeah, we'll see how that goes going forward. But for the first attempt, like I said, I'm mostly pretty happy with it. And what I told Wade in that other chat was, like, I really did want to do a thing that would just, I could turn around in not months.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not months, plural. Because that Ford thing evolved in a similar way, honestly, when it finally comes out, is originally the first part was, it was just going to be
the paper.
A fun fact thing, it was going to be Henry Ford got a medal from Adolf Hitler. Isn't that interesting? End of statement.
It got much less fun the further down you went.
And the research, it got so, there was so much more to it that I was just like,
so
all
many
right,
Nazi books, so not, many looks from librarians.
This is going to take some more time. Yeah, right. I did.
Yeah. I don't know how you balance that.
Yeah,
out.
The lady at the, I went to the Henry Ford Museum to the section dedicated to Henry Ford.
You went to this Henry Ford
the museum,
Centennial
to the Centennial Library.
And
I pulled out two books about Henry Ford and his relationship to Jewish people, and the poor librarian who was there helping me find them grabs a third one, and she was like, oh, this is also about this. Would you like it as well? I said, yes, please. Thank you very much, ma'am.
So the better part was we went up there, and Dustin had looked them up in the library system.
Yeah, I had a couple of them. And right, I had to show her. I was like, this is what I'm looking for. She was like, hmm.
Watching that while our library cards were getting processed was really fucking funny.
She goes behind the desk and writes your name on a
list.
Yeah,
right. Pushes the fucking silent alarm. She's like, all right, we gotta watch this.
Game for the forbidden books.
The guys from the Rouge Factory show up, Dustin.
That's right. 100%.
This was the same day Jebediah was supposed to be at Ticonderoga.
So yeah, it's been an interesting journey.
And then not all.
But yeah, we'll see how that all goes. But I wanted to just put that out there that I've enjoyed it so far. It's been a lot of fun putting that stuff together. And I want to thank you guys for checking it out and providing feedback. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
More content.
I'm working on it.
More of that watery Dustin voice.
Provide or be dismissed.
This is the last thing I was gonna say, which I hope I can get this ratio down at some point, but I would love to hear lifers. I want to talk to Jim Cummings or Tara Strong and know what their voiceover ratio of successful output is like for people who've been doing this for years. Cause as of this point, mine has been about 10-1. So if I record 60 minutes of uninterrupted dialogue, I get about 6 minutes of usable takes out of that once it's all said and done, between stumbling over my own tongue, trying to read the words correctly. So I'm hoping to tighten that up a little, but I would love to know.
I mean, that's just practice. It's speaking practice at that point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I told that Lorraine that on the other podcast recorded a couple weeks ago too, with just the two of us, is that it's, the first time, the first session I recorded stuff for the Ford video, I scrapped about half of it just because I realized that I couldn't speak at the same pace as I would on here. I just needed to speak in a slightly slower, slightly more methodical cadence to be clearly understood.
Reading and speaking are two different things.
Yeah.
You know all those there's.
Uh-huh.
Good point.
You're making a lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
But saying you gotta edit that stuff out.
Yeah. I was quitting language. Sorry, blowing off language.
That made total sense.
But that's
the community fans will get it.
So
will they
better.
it's been a good time. It's been satisfying. It's just been
all right. That's a better way to put it.
Yeah, right. It's felt good to do something that I feel is worth doing. that's more accurate, I guess. But and eventually, I'll make a video that's just fun and not not horribly dark and depressing.
Yay!
I'll believe it when I see it.
That's
you gotta
right.
Find your audience here. You might stick with
only Grimm. That's right. That's my.
Grim Dark Adventures.
Uh-huh. A billion Mandy.
But anyway, outside of that, I think that's basically it. So unless you guys have anything else, if anyone's got anything they want to throw out, we could probably call it a show. Nice solid check-in.
Penis. All right, I'm done.
Checking out how Wade's penis is doing. Wade, is your penis okay? Is it infected with rats?
Mission Hill.
Oh, boy, got himself a case of that rat
dick. Yeah, let it on the podcast.
Well, yeah, I think that'll work for a solid episode of checking in. But again, it's nice to everybody's got something going on, has done something or played something or made something. It's got me feeling positive. Just it's nice to to watch the world turn
and not burn.
I'll take it.
Make it turn faster and burn less.
And burn.
Right, yeah. You know, Kyle, Kyle's right. yeah, more turning, less burning.
But still no fly zone.
No fly zone. Uh-huh.
For sure. I can make that the thumbnail. I can go find a turn and burn screenshot. That sounds pretty good.
Deepest of cuts.
But yeah.
Remember the Game Boy version of that game?
I didn't.
And okay.
Yeah, right. That's. I don't know what to do with that information.
That
I didn't know that until you said
a
it.
Fact.
Thank you for the fact. I've learned something today. Thank God.
Sort of fun fact for the day.
But yeah, I think with that hot turn and burn information, we'll call it a show. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining me and hanging out on the internet. Thank you, Lorraine, for hanging out in person. Thank you, Colette, for mostly being obedient.
Yeah.
And until next time, we will see you later, internet.
Bye-bye. That's a good Christian daughter.